That was Circularity Sounds Group there. They're a group that have come together. You may have heard Kelly Bradley's podcast, Destruction of Choice. If not, check that out for sure, because it's a brilliant podcast all about addiction in a nutshell. But it goes much wider and deeper than that. But he's kind of really spearheading this group of people coming together every now and then with instruments. You know, he's kind of donated a lot of his own equipment and instruments for people to just come and enjoy music together. And that first little bit there was a recording that we got from our Circularity Camp, which happened on Saturday the 10th and into Sunday the 11th of August 2019. Me and Rob, while we were there at the camp, it's kind of like an annual thing where, you know, we're getting all the people together from across the different aspects of circularity and basically coming together in the field and seeing what happens, and people who want to stay over can, you know. And me and Rob met a guy called Brett, who is involved in the Men's Mind Gym, which is based in Derby. And we had a good chat with him about kind of where it came from, and what his ideas are, and it resonates massively with circularity. You know, I mean, you can kind of call it what you want, really, but it's a lot about people coming together and celebrating, you know, each other, and having a safe space for people to talk and to, you know, do activities together and just kind of be connected and together in each other's company. So, yeah, well, I'm going to sort of hand over to that conversation. You may have heard on that first bit, it was quite windy. So I did some processes on that audio to try and make it sound a bit cool, with some reverb and that. It reminded me of the Jesus Blood, the Gavin Bryars thing, just that kind of capture of something happening in the moment. And then, yeah, so in the yurt where we did this podcast with Brett, it was like you can hear the wind flapping, you know, against the sides and all that sort of stuff, and it's quite hard to process that out. So, yeah, you're going to have to deal with that. But it was a great interview.
My story, I suppose, is I've been working in homelessness for about 11 years, managing homeless services in Devon and Derby. I've got an interest in my own mental health and men's mental health, and just kind of helping others, really, more than anything. So I have a vested interest in it. My own story, I suppose. I mean, I've had some drink problems in the past. Probably had a drink problem for about 15 years, from the age of about 16 to 31. Mm-hmm. Lost my driving licence, couldn't hold relationships down, quite dysfunctional, quite a lot of depression, I suppose. Mm-hmm. I'm through all of that now. That's kind of, you know, but there's still elements of, you know, you do get down, you do get depressed, and, you know, and men are great, aren't they, at kind of, you know, yeah, I'm fine. Mm. I know it's still a bit of a cliche, but it does happen still. Mm. So what's good about the Men's Mind Gym is that I think the real kind of unique selling point, I suppose, about it is every man that comes to the group, if it's just once or twice, they're part of how it grows and what it looks like.
Nice.
So we're co-creating it.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's a couple of guys that have come in now. There's one guy that's been coming for a couple of months. Another guy's just turned up. He's come to two sessions. So there's about four or five of us kind of regular coming to it. Mm. I'm taking them to do some archery on the 18th of this month. Mm. So up at the land, I've been doing archery for about 5 years. And actually, I want to get the guys outside and shoot a few arrows. So we're going to take four of them up there on the 18th. So yeah, it's going okay, but it's kind of a slow burner, I think.
Yeah.
But it's going okay.
Yeah. A couple of things from Pip with that. What attracted you to being a part of the Men's Mind Gym?
Well, I want to talk myself. I want to share my stuff with other guys. So it's an opportunity for me to kind of share my stuff. Mm. And actually, if I can inspire others and help others along the way, just by sharing my vulnerabilities and my crap that's gone on in my life, then maybe that will help others to kind of open up and say, actually, you know what, this is a safe enough space for me to do that.
Yeah.
So one, we really want to create a safe enough space for men to do that, and then to keep coming back. So if I can kind of help that along the way, then I'm happy to do that and be a part of it.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's kind of why I'm doing it, really.
Yeah.
To kind of help
others. And the land, you spoke about the land a little bit earlier before we pressed record, but could you sort of talk a little bit about what that project is?
So it's there's a guy called Nick and his wife called Susie, that live in Little Eaton, and they've purchased some land a few years ago. And they generally, their work has been around organisational development and all sorts, really. But they do a lot of spiritual teaching and retreats around spirituality and change and self-empowerment and kind of inquiry, if you like. So there is a community of us. There's quite a few people within the community, and we go up to the land on work days and tend to the land. So it's all about reconnection and interconnectedness.
Yeah.
For the whole of July, there are a number of kind of retreats that they run. So there's a thing like the Twinkalarium, which is like a fun day, one day retreat. There's a 3 or 4 day medicine wheel retreat, and there's a four day five realms retreat. A lot of it, some of it's based around the North American Indian culture. Mm-hmm. So we have a medicine wheel on the land, and we do a lot of work around the medicine wheel. We have, in the summer, we have a big year to the teepee up there as well. So there's within the community, it's kind of made up of kind of therapists and that kind of environment, really. So it's like a therapeutic community.
Yeah.
We're all supporting each other and learning to kind of learning about the land and our connection to it, and reconnecting with other people. And mainly about interconnectedness, how we're all kind of connected in some way.
Mm-hmm.
That's about it in a nutshell, really. It's quite hard to explain. But
I think that if we rewind maybe 10 or 15 years,
yeah,
as three guys sitting having a conversation about interconnectedness,
yeah,
and the land and yeah, nature and...
Yeah.
Talking about your feelings.
Talking about your feelings. That would have been very, very frowned upon by... general culture, I think, westernised culture in some way. And it's interesting that there's a nod towards the Native American culture, because, you know, there's always, I mean, I think what I'm trying to get at is that there's always this idea that that is somehow primitive,
yeah,
and that we've progressed in some way since then to become a society of, you know, capitalist, consumers, whatever you want to call it, but
yeah,
this world that we've created that is around stuff,
yeah,
and things, and that's important, yeah, and, you know, investing energy in things and companies and businesses and projects and
that's that, taken us away, that's disconnecting that's, us,
yeah,
we're completely disconnected. So yeah, some of the stuff we do on the retreats up there, it's about ceremony, it's about singing, it's about music, it's about just joining hands and celebrating and thanking, you know, saying thank you for the food that we're just going to receive. It's all the real basics and reconnecting ourselves to the land and to others and ourselves. I went on a retreat recently. It was called the Five Realms. It was quite challenging to go on there because it was opening up stuff for me. But what it did do for me, I just completely reconnected with myself. My intention was to go and reconnect with myself and to reconnect with others. I've come away, and what it's done for me, it's shifted quite a lot of stuff. So it gives me more space to bring in new stuff.
Mm.
So that's what it's done, essentially, and that's what the land's all about. Mm. It's about inquiry, reconnecting, shifting space.
Mm.
You know, I don't know, it's like throwing the rubbish out and then having this empty bin where you've got loads of emotional space to do other things.
Mm.
So, yeah.
Sounds amazing.
It is amazing.
Yeah,
it does.
Hey. I mean, it doesn't sound that far away from the values that we install within circularity.
Sounds quite similar, doesn't it?
Yeah,
yeah,
with the beliefs we've got about being excellent to yourself and each other, and
yeah,
being connected,
yeah,
not being fussed about whether you're different from people, whether you're the same, but just be connected.
Interconnectedness, we're all connected, yeah, in some way.
Mm.
So all these connections are opening up. Because they're all very similar, but we're all trying to do the same thing.
Yeah.
It is literally, we're all connected in some way.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it makes perfect sense that I'm here, talking about the Men's Mind Gym and what I do separately at the land.
Yeah.
I think we're going back, we're going full circle, aren't we? We need to kind of...
But it's becoming a part of everyday conversation,
yeah,
a little bit by little bit.
Yeah.
And this was the thing, when we first... So we recorded Circularity, the album, in 2016, and a lot of the content, Sounds Like Crows, directly references Native American culture, because part of that ethos was, it was actually around death, really, and around having a better understanding of death and respect for death and knowing what that is, and the inevitable fear that comes with the culture we've created of death. But actually, if we repurpose our ideas of what death is, it could be a different, yeah, a different way, you know, a different way of dealing with it. And yeah, just it directly, the ethos of it is that very, very kind of circular notion, you know? Yeah. And I don't know, just think, if I'd have spoke to someone around about that when we wrote that album, and I did, they're going, "What are you on about?" And I was talking about, yeah, you know, plastics. You know, like that we've got song, the song "Circularity" is around embracing a small circular economy by changing our outlook on absolutely everything, even the little stuff like what we consume and how we do that. And that was in that song. And then I spoke to people, and they thought I was mad. Yeah. And you're just like, "But this is coming. This all of these things that we're talking about in this album, this is going to happen." You know, and it is. It's slowly unfolding, it and people are having these conversations. Yeah. And I don't believe in it in some sort of divine sense or anything like that, but I just believe that what I was starting to get tuned into is the stuff that everyone's starting to get tuned into now.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, it's going to be a major conversation that's going to go on in the world, and that how do we embrace indigenous, you know, indigenous kind of ideals and mindsets in order to kind of have a better understanding of the world we live in, because we've kind of lost it a bit. And actually, when you go back to, I don't know, you know, ancient Hindu scripture or Native American culture or something like that, you know, that's maybe a few thousand years old, it actually makes a lot more sense than a lot of the stuff that we've created.
Yeah. Very simple way of living. And and again, it's just about staying connected within your body as well. And another thing about the land is it's about beyond the intellect. It's getting away from the intellect. Mm. And it's trying to be present in the body on a daily basis. It's hard work. I mean, I did this retreat, and every day I'm writing stuff down, and I'm doing a little bit of meditation in the morning, a little bit of meditation in the evening. I'm out in nature all the time. I'm not sure if you've seen all my photos on Facebook, but it's every day now I'm trying to get into nature in some way. So 5-mile walk with the dog this morning down by the river, and then I went up to, and there's another little community, a lovely little community in Little Over called Hannah Fields Community Garden, where Angela Griffin, I'm mentioning her now, be great on the podcast, she's leasing this land off the council, and then she's just created this amazing kind of community space, loads of wildflowers, a bit of allotment on there, and anyone can come and join in. So I spent 2 hours there today.
Wow.
Just helping out, just, I don't know, digging weeds out and having a cup of tea and a chinwag and a chat.
Yeah.
And that's really lovely. And then I went back home and did some stuff, and then I thought, I'm going to come up here. So I've been kind of connected all day with myself and other people. So it's making all of these connections, which is quite interesting.
Yeah.
Which I think is really, I don't know, I think it's really important.
We're essentially just stripping back the layers that since we moved into an agricultural-based society that we put in place to either barter things, sell things, or excel. So whilst I fully believe in science and the benefits it can have, part of the problem with pushing towards that idea is sometimes that the people take that and then go, well, that's a reason to be disconnected from people, because here's the latest phone, here's the latest thing, or here you need to earn this much to be worthwhile, or you need to do this, or you need to have that car, or this sort of outlook on life to be successful. You need to be an Instagram influencer to be the best person in the world.
Yeah.
And what you find is when you strip that back is most of them, as you find nowadays, and you see them on all the gossip sites again, is that it's not real. And it's only when you get back to being real and honest with yourself and back to that connectedness, either with yourself, with people around you, or with the land, like you're talking about, is where you find that serenity.
Well, it's where the peace is, it's where the kind of, yeah, it's being in the present as well, it's being present with it, I think, is more, you know, I think we're just not present, are we? Generally, we're just going about our business, we don't notice things, it's just,
it's the next thing, we talked about that before, what's the next thing I'm going to get?
Yeah, what do I want from life, and it's like, actually, you know what does life want from me? You know, so just going back to the Men's Mind Gym, that runs twice a month, and there's no real pressure for men to share stuff. There is an element at the gym where we run from like 7:30 till however long it takes. That men, we sit in a circle and we'll share whatever's going on for them. But initially, there's no pressure. It's around tea. It's about just making connections, having a chat. What do people want to do? So we have board games out if people want to play board games. We've got a PlayStation there even, you know. So if the people want to just have a PlayStation. But generally chatting.
That's mega. That's really cool.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's needed. It's definitely needed. And well, I think what excites me is that I'm going to take some of those guys up to the land next week and we're going to shoot some arrows. Yeah, because that's another ancient kind of thing that I've got into over the last 4 or 5 years. I when I lived in Devon for a couple of years, I met this guy called Gordon, who lives in the middle of Dartmoor. He's got some land on Dartmoor. Basically, he's just got this massive archery range, and he just shoots arrows every single day. And he's covered it. His ex-tattoo, his gang member from London many, many years ago. And now he's just got this massive Mohican, and he's covered in tattoos, and he's just shooting arrows every day. And that's the first time I did archery. I went, oh, man, this is amazing. So my journey with archery has been quite interesting. And then I can give that to other people as well.
There's nothing like something like archery or even shooting to some degree, you know, as a sport, not as a killing people thing, but just that the being in the moment thing.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely.
There's no other way of playing it. Like, but even games like snooker or pool or like you do snooker and stuff like that, and there's nothing better than things like that to bring you back to the present.
You've got to be in the present, haven't you? If you're not, you're not going to be able to connect with it at all.
And that's where snooker can't be, because even in snooker, yes, you're thinking about putting that ball, but you're thinking about the next shot and your next shot and your next shot, whereas with your archery, as you say, you are literally thinking about that shot, that hitting that target at that point. You're not thinking about the next arrow, because there's not, if I hit this, then I've got to do this. It's just, can I hit this? And that's where it's that more in the moment, as you say. Everything else, you kind of have to think about what's coming up next. Even when you're playing board games, you're still doing that, chess and things like
strategy
that.
Strategy and stuff, yeah.
Yeah, you're still thinking ahead. You're not fully in the moment, whereas things like gardening, walking, archery, you have to think about exactly what you're doing there and then. It doesn't matter what you're doing in 5 minutes, it's all about now.
Do you find archery quite meditative?
It's very meditative.
Yeah,
absolutely. You've got to treat it a bit like yoga or another kind of martial art, I suppose. You have to breathe properly. You have to use your body properly. There's a danger you can injure yourself if you don't do it properly. So you've got to breathe in. You breathe in as you tend to kind of pull the arrow up, and then you breathe out when you let the arrow go. Mm. So if you get that right, it all flows quite nicely. So yeah, it is quite meditative.
The point of breathing, absolutely. You have to get your breathing.
So yeah, you just have to breathe in and then breathe out. I mean, there's a common book is in India, but they do yoga and archery together. There's a place in India. Yeah. So it's very much linked again. It's all again that interconnectedness of everything, kind of weaving in and out. Quite interesting.
This is really interesting, because that actually where we're at with the circularity project at the minute is that everything is very discreet, and we've got these brilliant parts of the project that we know somehow all mean circularity, all fit into this whole, but actually there's, you know, a group doing music there, there's a group doing something here, there's a project on that, there's a podcast here, there's all that. And the thing we haven't figured out yet is actually how those things sort of connect with each other, which they do, I'm sure they do.
I'm sure they will. Yeah. I'm sure it'll just all kind of come together at some point.
Yeah.
I'm sure it will.
Yeah.
It's almost as if we had a hub.
Yeah.
If we had a hub, would be good.
We had a hub,
yeah.
An empire, somewhere.
An empire.
Yeah. That's also an in joke as well, because there's somewhere called the Empire for sale.
Oh, okay.
I keep going, we should buy that. And
we should build an empire.
Build an empire from there. And the thing is, Chris has always said, and it's something that I've started to get more in the last sort of 6 months, is when this gets away from us is when it's taken off.
Yeah.
Because when we're not controlling anymore, when we put things in place that then other people take over and they put their own things in place and start building it with other people, and it's some bits of it are starting to do that, and it's feeling good knowing that's going on, but it's getting that
that's proper empowerment though, isn't it? That's empowering people to and giving them the tools, whatever, to kind of go off and just get on with it. That's true empowerment, isn't it? When you need to let it go. I love doing that. I love starting something up and letting it go and going, right, off you go.
I think in our culture we have a problem with accountability. massively.
Yeah, we
where,
do.
Where we create a blame centric. I don't know if that's a word, but you know, if it doesn't work, that's okay because that's their fault. And they're accountable for that.
I think we also have a challenge with ego as well, letting our ego get involved with it and not allowing just to let that kind of fly and develop into something else. But our ego is generally attached to stuff that we kind of get involved with, isn't it? I mean, that's a really powerful thing. You know, if you can let your ego, if you can move your ego out of it, it's far easier to let go of it.
But I think with something like Men's Mind Gym, or, you know, Circularity, or The Land, or the other project you mentioned, I think that's the beauty of those kind of things, because it transcends the ego.
Yeah, yeah.
If you do it properly, if it becomes my project, then no, that's not going to work out. But actually, the beauty of stuff like this is actually you can say, actually, I'm doing this for the project, and the project is almost an entity within itself.
Yeah, absolutely.
And yeah, the
Men's Mind Gym is everybody's. Mm. Whoever comes is automatically part of it. So they have a say in how it's run, what it looks like, how it moves forward, whatever.
How do you get over... Sorry, you were going to...
No, no go.
How do you get over the anxiety around people worried about when... what am I trying to say here? So you're saying people come and they're empowered to be a part of the generation of that project. People worry that there's not a thing that's structured or bullet points...
Like a hierarchy.
Or a hierarchy. Or the structure of...
people struggle with.
Everything.
I think that's very much a human problem. It's a systemic issue, isn't it? So you get it in organisations that you work with, whatever. There has been conversations with guys in the Men's Mind Gym. You know, some people are worried about there's not going to be anyone stepping up to kind of lead it. Mm. If we constitute it, who's going to play that role? And you know, I can't. Some guys are saying, well, they haven't got the time, and that's fair enough because they work full time or whatever. Mm. I think you just take it like a one day at a time. Because, okay, let's see what happens.
Yeah,
you know, I don't.
But that's what people find quite hard, isn't it?
I found that hard. Yeah. I find that hard sometimes. It's like, okay, if I'm going to get involved with this, then I would like to push this forward a little bit. But then again, actually, that's my issue, isn't it? That's my challenge coming to the group.
Mm.
And actually, we talked about it the last one, the last gym we went to, and said, well, let's just see what happens. Mm. It's really difficult, isn't
it?
Yeah. It's really difficult.
But It is really hard. Yeah.
Because it's getting people to commit. You know, it takes time if you're doing working full time. And they said, we're doing this twice a month. It's quite a big commitment.
Mm.
So that's 6 hours of the session, but then you've got all the other stuff around it.
Yeah.
You know, so you've got the social media, we've got a Twitter account, I set up a blog, Martin, who's involved also, he's got the Facebook page, Carnage kind of does the Instagram bits and bobs, and he comes up with the flyers. So, you know, we're all doing these things in our spare time.
Yes.
But I think it's just bringing it back to the group every single time and going, right, how's it going? You know, is it working for you?
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? Keep bringing it back to that, going, is it working for you?
Take it to the board.
Yeah.
Is it working for me? Because I expressed my... I came off this retreat and I was like, okay, you know, is my energy... do I want my energy to go here at the minute? I'm not sure. So I just told them. I said, look, you know, I'm not sure if my energy's here at the minute. But I'll come to the next one. But then my energy was... I was a bit more energised when I went to the next one.
Mm.
And we just said, look, you know, how's it going? Is it going as you want it to, you know? And they're like, well, yeah, I think it's okay. We'd like to get more men there. We'd like to get more people there.
Mm.
But again, that's another step, isn't it? That's like, okay.
I think you'd certainly be seeing two more people over the next month. Yeah. Depending on when it is. And
but I think there'll be people here. I think there'll be people here, like maybe Kelly or Ben, even, you know.
Yeah.
Or Adam. There's going to be guys here that will go,
okay,
I'll come along to that for sure, yeah.
It's the first Monday and third Wednesday of every month.
So there we have it. Brett from Men's Mind Gym, talking about, obviously, a variety of things, but I think, you know, the key takeaways from this podcast are, you know, the Men's Mind Gym itself, but then also The Land as well. That looks quite an interesting concept. And then one or two other interesting things in there that people might want to check out. Have a good time doing whatever you're doing. And there'll be another podcast in a couple of weeks.